Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Smart Faith Podcast, coming to you from the middle of nowhere in West Texas. My name is Joe Sisk, and you can email me at smartfaithpodcast@yahoo.com. Definitely check out revelationsradionetwork.com for all your podcast needs. Good to be along with you. Glad to be podcasting again. I've been took some time off for the holidays there and the end of the world, and hiding up my bunker. No, not really. You know, I had faith and trust in the Lord, of course, you know, knowing that no man knows the day or the hour. And, just kicking back, taking it easy. Although my cell phone wouldn't work the morning of the 2012 apocalypse thing was supposed to happen. So I guess it was a phone apocalypse for me. You know, the cell phone didn't work for 2 or 3 days afterwards. You know, so that was about the most adverse effect I got from the whole 2012 thing was not being able to call anywhere. So, but other than that, we did all right. Today I want to ask you a question. Have you heard somebody say, you don't read the Bible, do you? Or, the Bible is just another book, and you should read this book instead. Perhaps you've heard a teacher degrade the Bible before his or her students, ridiculing those who read it and believe it. Maybe you've heard those who are proud to have a Bible on their bookshelf, but only as one book among other greats of literature. You know, they don't read it, they don't open it up, they don't cherish the book. It's just a part of a collection of great works, you know. But the Bible is more than simply one of the great works. It is unique, meaning it is one and only. There's no others like it. It is different from all the rest, having no like or equal. So the purposes in this lesson today is to review the ways the Bible is unique and truly different and having no equal. And for example, the Bible is unique in its continuity. Here's a book that is written in about 1600 years span that the Bible covers. That's like 40 generations. It was written by approximately 40 different authors from every walk of life. And think about it. Moses was a political leader trained in the universities of Egypt. Peter was a fisherman, Amos was a herdsman, Joshua was a military general, Nehemiah was the cupbearer to the king of Persia, Daniel was a prime minister in the courts of Babylon, Luke was a physician, Solomon was a philosopher king, Matthew was a tax collector, and Paul was a rabbi and a tent maker. I mean, does that not cover, fishermen to royal cupbearers to prime ministers to generals? To, simple shepherds, herdsmen. It covers just about every kind of, walk of life you can think of. And then on top of it, the Bible was written in different places. Moses wrote it in the wilderness, Jeremiah in a dungeon, Daniel on a hillside and in a palace, Paul inside prison walls, Luke while traveling, John in exile on the Isle of Patmos, and others in the rigors of a military campaign. We have from prisons to the battlefield to a palace and different places that the Bible was written at. And it was written at different times. David in times of war. Solomon in times of peace. And you have everything in between and on the scale there. And it was also written in different moods. Some were writing the works that became part of the Bible and at the height of joy, and others from the depth of sorrow and despair. It was written on 3 different continents, Asia, Africa, and Europe, in 3 different languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, with subject matter involving hundreds of controversial topics, such as the origins of man in the universe, the nature of God, the nature of man, the nature of sin, the nature of man's redemption, and so forth. Yet, if we look at the Bible, there is harmony and continuity. For example, the paradise lost of the book of Genesis becomes the paradise regained of Revelation. Whereas the gates to the trees of life was closed in Genesis, it is open forevermore in Revelation. Compare the continuity of the Bible with any other writing of men. You don't ever have this flow from the beginning and the tragedy of the beginning in Genesis with the paradise lost, flowing to the triumph of Paradise Regained in Revelation, and all through the history of the world up to the point of each writer's time, describing basically how man has gone from the fall through the muck and mire to receiving a Savior, to accepting the Savior, to being being able to partake in the glories of the paradise once again. Imagine what you would have if you took a book and gave it to 10 authors from one walk of life, one generation, one place, one time, one mood, one continent, and one language. You think about it. Would you have the same continuity, the same flow that you have in the Bible? You would have a conglomeration of conflicting ideas and not harmony. And that's, like I said, very similar writers in a similar era, similar mood, similar location. You would still have, a hard time to agree. You'd have a hard time getting 10 authors to agree, let alone 40. The Bible is truly unique, one of a kind in its continuity. It is also unique in its distribution. One of the first major books to be translated was the Bible. The Septuagint version of the Old Testament was translated into Greek in 250 B.C. Between 1950 and 1960, 3,000 Bible translators were at work, and I'm sure by now it's probably higher. By the end of 1993, the whole Bible had been translated into 337 languages, and 2,062 languages have translations of at least one book of the Bible. That's according to Guinness's Book of World Records 1998 edition. The circulation of the Bible is of 1804 was 409 million copies. As of 1932, it was 1 1/3 billion copies. The world's best-selling and most widely distributed book is the Bible, with an estimated 2.5 billion copies sold from 1815 to 1975. This is also from the Book of World Records there. No other book has known anything approaching this constant circulation. As said of the words of God, their voice had gone out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. That's Romans 10, verse 18. You would think that if a person were to sincerely seek the truth, he or she would give serious consideration to a book that has drawn so much attention. The Bible is also unique in its survival. Its survival through time, though written material perishes, but paper dries up and crumbles away, ink oxidizes and rusts a lot of time, the older inks do, and becomes fragile and fades and is destroyed. And this material had to be copied and recopied for hundreds of years by hand. Its style, correctness, or existence did not diminish. Compared with other ancient writings, the manuscript evidence of the Bible is greater than 10 pieces of classical literature combined. It's sufficient to ensure that we are reading the words of the original. You see, you don't have other books that last like the Bible has lasted. It is unique in its survival. Because even this survival was amazing survival because it had to be hand-copied and done by, careful and meticulous pen work, for many, 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 many years, most of his existence. Modern printing presses is a new invention, of course. Relatively speaking, when it comes to how long the Bibles had to be maintained by handwriting by various priests or monks or whoever was doing it. It survived through persecution as well. Many have tried to burn it, ban it, and otherwise outlaw it. I even have a Bible cover on my Bible that says this book is illegal in 52 countries. They've tried to get rid of it in a lot of places. They tried to destroy it. It's not going to happen. The days of the Roman Empire, they tried to stomp it out, too. To the present communist-dominated country like China, for example. Also check in 303 A.D., the Roman Emperor issued an edict to stop Christians from worshiping and to destroy their scriptures. Only 25 years later, the Roman Emperor Constantine called for 50 copies of the Bible to be prepared at the expense of the government. 25 years later, and it's completely turned around. One emperor tried to stomp the Bible out, only to have a few years later another emperor bring it forth again. You know, how true is this statement? All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flowers of the grass. The grass withers, and its flowers fall away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. That's 1 Peter 1:24-25. You know, so, I mean, it's a very true statement. You know, the word of the Lord endures forever. It does not just be destroyed. People have tried their best to stomp it out of existence. They can't do it. It's resilient. It is like indestructible. You know, you may burn copies here, you may burn copies there, but it's still out there and it still exists and can't be stopped because it is the Word of God, and the Word of God promises that His Word will never perish from the world. So no matter what you do, you can't stop it. It's like Superman. It's also survived through criticism. You know, infidels for 1,800 years have been refuting and overthrowing this book, and yet it stands today as solid as a rock. Its circulation increases, and it is more loved and cherished read today than ever before. Infidels, with all their assault, make about as much impression on this book as a man with a tack hammer on the pyramids of Egypt. That was H.L. Hastings that said that. Let's look at a quote from Bernard Graham. No other book has been so chopped, knife, sifted, scrutinized, and vilified. What book on philosophy or religion or psychology has been subject to such a mass attack as the Bible? With such venom and such and skepticism, with such thoroughness and erudition, on every chapter, line, and tenet, and yet the Bible is still loved by millions, read by millions, and studied by millions. That's very true. It's survived through criticism. People have tried their best to discredit the Bible, to attack the Bible, to vilify the Bible, to try to destroy the Bible through intellectual and philosophical means, and they have failed. They continue to fail. That's why, you know, we call this a Smart Faith Podcast, because we're smart enough to understand that the Bible is able to overthrow these attacks and not give in to these attacks because it is the correct Word of God and is true and is good for our instruction in righteousness. Next, let's consider how the Bible is unique in its teaching. It is a book of prophecy. It is the only volume ever produced in which to be found a large body of prophecies relating to individual nations, more than 10 in Isaiah alone, Israel, all the peoples of the earth, certain cities, and the coming Messiah and his kingdom. It's Wilbur Smith that quote come from. It's true. It's, you know, it's the only book that you can find prophecies about this nation, that nation, the whole world, certain groups, the coming Messiah, and all, you know, Jesus. You can find all prophecies about everything, all kinds of things, all over the Bible. There is no other book of religious antiquity which provides so many explicit prophecies so distant in the future which came to pass. It's also a book of history. The Old Testament embodies the oldest history written writing extant, according to Cambridge Ancient History. The Hebrews are the only race of people that can give such a clear and accurate picture of their origins. In all of my archaeological investigations, I have never found one artifact of antiquity that contradicts any statement of the Word of God. And that was said by Nelson Glueck. You know, and it's because you're not going to find anything. You know, what you're going to find is proof that God's Word is correct. That is what is definitely out there to be found. You're not going to find anything that contradicts the Word of God. The Bible also is a book of personalities. The Bible deals frankly with sins, the sins of its characters, even its heroes. Adam and Eve put off responsibility on the others. You know, she did it, oh, he did it, you know, they did it, the snake made us do it. You know, they were, you know, doing the shunning of the responsibilities. Noah had the problem with drunkenness. Abraham had cowardice and lying to save his skin. Moses had disobedience to God. David was a liar, adulterer, and a murderer, right? And Peter denied the Lord, causing division through hypocrisy. Churches divided, become arrogant, materialistic. All these different groups, you know, the Bible deals with sin, even in its what you could call heroes, as, you know, very, very straightforward. Like, it doesn't pull any punches. It doesn't sugarcoat things. It doesn't look the other way. It's honest about the flaws of the people mentioned therein, and the flaws of groups of people, even in the churches. The Bible has a habit of telling it like it was, and unique in its portrayal of its key personalities. You know, it's not like, oh, superhero time. You know, so finally, we briefly note that the Bible is unique in its influence. If every Bible in any considerable city were destroyed, the book could be restored in all of its essential parts from the quotations on the shelves of the city's public library. You know, the Bible is, you know, unique in how it affects other books and other and writers in their other works. The Bible's influence is impossible to ignore. There are more than 1,000 biblical references in the works of Shakespeare alone. John Milton, Herman Melville, Ernest Hemingway all drew on the Bible too. Then there's Rembrandt, Chagall, and Da Vinci, who all put the Bible on canvas. Even the Declaration of Independence alludes to the Bible. But it's not just history. The Bible is in pop culture as well. The movie The Matrix is full of biblical references. People have written so much that people have written entire books about it. That's a quote by Sean Alfano, "The Bible is Literature." I consider intimate knowledge of the Bible an indispensable quality of a well-educated man, according to Dr. Robert Milliken, former president of the California Institution of Technology and Nobel Peace Prize winner. You know, so, I mean, these are true. The knowledge, the influence of the Bible is on the world. You know, the Narnia thing is very obvious. We all know about that. But The Matrix is full of references to the Bible. You have many different books that are, you know, books, movies, music, you know, all kinds of things that are heavily influenced by biblical themes, principles, and content. It is unique on the influence of the upon the world itself. Our judicial system is based upon many of the principles found in the Bible. Gives our standard of morality owes much to the Judeo-Christian ethic. The fundamental basis of this nation's laws was given to Moses on the Mount. The fundamental basis of our Bill of Rights comes from the teachings we get from Exodus and St. Matthew, from Isaiah and St. Paul. I don't think we emphasize that enough these days. If we don't have the proper fundamental moral background, we will finally end up with a totalitarian government which does not believe in the right for anybody except for the state. That was said by President Harry Truman. I think for any educated person, it's absolutely essential to know something about the Bible. Whether a person is a believer or not, the Bible stands at the foundation of our form of civilization. That was said by Bart Ehrman. So, you know, the world itself is even influenced by the Bible. The justice system, a lot of justice systems around the world, are heavily influenced by the Judeo-Christian ethic principles. And, you know, that's a very important thing because the Bible is instruction and, you know, gives us instructions on how to behave and how to act and what is right and what is wrong. So, you know, it's a good thing that these things are based upon this. It also has a great influence upon many great people. Let's look at some quotes here real quick. The Bible is worth more than all the other books which have ever been printed. That was said by Patrick Henry. It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible, said George Washington. It has been my custom for many years to read the Bible in its entirety once a year, John Quincy Adams. I believe the Bible is the best gift God has ever given to man. All the good from the Savior of the world is communicated to us through this book, Abraham Lincoln. The Bible is a book in comparison which all others are of minor importance, which in all my perplexities and distresses has never failed to give me light and strength. Robert E. Lee. The New Testament is the very best book that ever was or ever will be known in the world. Charles Dickens. No man, educated or uneducated, can afford to be ignorant of the Bible. A thorough understanding of the Bible is better than a college education. Theodore Roosevelt. Within the covers of this one single book, the Bible, are all the answers to all the problems which we face today, if only we would read it and believe. Ronald Reagan. You know, these people are all really great. I mean, you have great quotes here. The Bible is worth more than all the books printed. It is the best book ever printed because it is the Word of God. And we would do well to heed and practice the words of some of these men and to hold the principles that they hold when it comes to the Bible. This lesson has not been an effort to prove the Bible to be the Word of God, although its continuity and fulfilled prophecy are certainly evidences of it, but to show that it's truly a unique book, that its uniqueness is reason alone for everybody to read the Bible. Of course, I personally believe that what has made it so unique is its origin, because it comes from the mind of the one true God. Its process of revelation, it came by the work of the Holy Spirit, who guided many of the writers in their works and made them harmonious, and its central message, which is that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of God, who is the only Lord and Savior of mankind. Because of its uniqueness, I believe that it may be rightly stated, if you are an intelligent person, you will read the one book that has drawn more attention than any other if you are searching for the truth. And that's quoted by Josh McDowell. In my search for the truth, I have read the entire Bible many times and continue to read it daily. Are you searching for truth? Do you need to read the Bible? If you do, pick it up and do it. That's all you got to do. It's as simple as that. And the Bible is, like I said, truly a unique book, and we would do well to remember the influence on it, and to understand the truth about it, and to read it and take it into our hearts so that we may keep it close to our hearts at all times. All right, until next time, my friends, God bless.